Tomorrow, March 29th, is the feast of John Keble, without whom we would not be able to celebrate any feast days at all. In the 19th century, Keble was a founder and leader of the Oxford Movement, a theological and spiritual renewal within the Anglican Church. He was intellectually gifted and by age 18 had already graduated with highest honors from Oxford University. He became a professor, but despite his academic success, he was a clergyman at heart and eventually resigned his position to become the vicar of a parish near Winchester. He loved serving as a parish priest and remained for 30 years conducting daily services, teaching at the village school, providing spiritual counsel, and embedding religion into the daily life of his congregants. Keble also began writing poetry. Inspired by his walks through the countryside, he looked to nature for a deeper understanding of God. His first book, entitled The Christian Year, included a poem for every Sunday and holy day in the liturgical calendar. His writing had a fresh, simple, straightforward quality. The book was so successful that Keble was elected Oxford Professor of Poetry. Two of his poems are still in our hymnal today. A few months later, in July 1833, Keble's life changed dramatically when he preached a sermon at the university church. It was the spark that ignited the religious revival known as the Oxford Movement. During the 18th century Age of Reason, the Church of England had declined. Church buildings were not kept up. Chancels at the eastern end of churches fell into ruin. Holy tables were used as coat racks or hidden completely behind huge triple-decker pulpits built at the center front of the nave. Sunday services were always morning prayer. Communion was offered only four times a year. Keble's sermon inspired a change that reshaped the Church of England. He insisted that churches are not just great preaching houses, but houses of worship, and that the Eucharist should be the central focus and the most important act of church worship, celebrated weekly. In Keble's day, there was an astonishing list of items that were illegal. No processions were allowed, no candles, no unleavened bread, like wafers, no incense, and no crucifixes. Clergy were not allowed to make the sign of the cross or wear white vestments. The Oxford Movement advocated the restoration of many aspects of worship discarded in the Reformation, including the sacraments, saints' days with their individual collects, lighted candles on the altar, liturgical colors, altar hangings, and embroidered stoles for the clergy. All these were added back into services. As a further result of the Oxford Movement, churches were restored in neo-Gothic style, and Victorian stained glass was added to replace what had been smashed by the Puritans during the 17th century. Robed choirs now sang from the chancel, accompanied by an organ, rather than by a small church band seated in a west gallery at the back of the church. Incense was added to high feast days, enabling worshipers to use all of their senses, not just the mind. These changes were met with resistance and led to intense local controversies. There were literally riots over vestments, and mobs attacked churches where the reforms had been introduced. Parliament passed a Public Worship Act, under which priests were arrested and brought to trial. Several were ultimately imprisoned for using candles and incense. When you have a state church, the government can interfere with worship and pass laws with serious consequences. However, many citizens were horrified by the spectacle of priests in prison for lighting candles on the altar, and the arrest ceased. The Oxford movement was ultimately highly successful. Today, the use of vestments and wafer bread is widespread in almost all Anglican parishes worldwide. And other good things came of it. Some of the priests began working in the slums, bringing pastoral care and comforting beauty to the urban poor. Anglican monasticism was revived. The first religious community for men since the Reformation was founded in Oxford, the Society of St. John the Evangelist, SSJE. C.S. Lewis stayed at their monastery, and eventually a group moved to America, to Cambridge, Massachusetts. The brothers have come to Richmond to lead workshops, and many of us receive daily emails from them entitled, "Brother, Give Us a Word." Of the many eminent churchmen who took part in the Oxford movement, John Keble was certainly one of the best loved. In the face of bitter controversy, his unwavering loyalty to the Church of England and his wise and gentle leadership held the movement together. Typically self-deprecating, shy of publicity, a retiring figure who preferred to remain in the background, Keble nevertheless became the unofficial figurehead of the Oxford movement. On the day of his funeral, his friends gathered to discuss what would be a fitting memorial to the man who, through his beliefs and words, had changed the course of Anglican religious history. They founded Keble College, Oxford, in his honor. I actually spent a week living at Keble College in 1992, attending lectures at a conference in honor of the centennial of J.R.R. Tolkien's birth. But Keble's true memorial is the way we worship today.